بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. وبعد، this is our 11th درس in the تفسير of سورة البقرة from the التسهيل of ابن جزي. Today is the 17th of Ramadan 1446 of Hijra, corresponding to the 17th of March 2025 CE. 11th درس بقى. We are starting on verse 19, inshallah, where we stopped during our last درس. 19 نيكو أو كسيب. أو كسيب is 21.
Yes.
Verse 20.
أو كسيب.
Al-Qasayyibin is verse 19. Yes. But we'll first start with the questions. This one says, Assalamu alaikum, may Allah forgive you and reward you with Al-Jannah al-Firdaus. Ameen. My question is, can a person read the Quran and even perform sujood al-tilawa without ablution? The recitation of the Quran without ablution is permissible for you to recite the Quran without ablution, because as Aisha radiallahu anha said, وكان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يحجبه شيء عن القرآن غير الجنابة. There is nothing that used to prevent the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم from the Quran except the impurity of janaba, that is after sexual intercourse or release of semen. And the hadith of Sayyidina Ali, he says, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يذكر الله على كل أحيانه. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to remember Allah in all his condition, in all situation, in all times and situation. And the recitation of the Quran is a form of dhikr, so you can do it in each situation. And also in the Muwatta, there is this athar that Umar radiallahu anhu, they were sitting together in the mosque reciting the Quran, a kind of halaqa dars. Then he stood up and went and passed urine, and then he came back to the mosque, and along the way it was reported that he continued doing his recitation, and it was not mentioned that when he passed the urine he did ablution. As for sujood tilawa, there is difference of opinion. Majority of scholars, they regard sujood tilawa as a kind of as something that is a part of salah. And for prayer, you have to have ablution to do it. So they say that you can't do sujood tilawa except in a state of ablution. No, this is touching the Quran. This one is recitation. That one you are mentioning is touching the Quran. This one is recitation. Majority of scholars, they say that you will do sujood tilawa if you are in a state of ablution, because sujood is one of the pillars of salah. So it's as though since you are doing a rukun, so if the prayer is you have to do it in a state of ablution, so any rukun of prayer you do it in ablution as well.
Sure.
I'm coming to that. I'm mentioning the perspective of the jumhur, the majority, which is also the madhab of Malik. But the second opinion is the opinion of Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib. And it is the opinion that is chosen by some later scholars like Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, that sujood al-tilawa is not prayer, it's not salah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِنَّمَا أُمِرْتُ بِالْوُضُوءِ إِذَا قُمْتُ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ. I was only instructed to make ablution when I stand up in prayer. So since sujood al-tilawa is not prayer, you can do it even without ablution. And this is a very strong opinion. especially since sujood shukr is also a sujood, and sujood shukr is time bound. What I mean by time bound is that the time you receive the news that deserves for you to do the sujood shukr, you do the sujood shukr. You don't, when you hear the news, you say, okay, let me go and make ablution and then come and pray. Immediately, like Sayyidina Ali, when it was reported to him that the founder of the Khawarij was found killed, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them glad tidings that the people who will kill them, they will be the ones, they will have an immense reward. And Ali radiallahu anhu, he made the prostration of thanking Allah for this favor. Well, it could be said that he was in a state of wudu, but the fact that he just did the sujood like that, it could mean that he did it, maybe he was not even in a state of sujood. So you can do sujood with tilawa even if you don't have ablution, because you can do the recitation without ablution. And then the second question, he says, may Allah protect you, have mercy on your late mother, and grant your father a long life. Ameen. Then my question is, some masjids have 2 to 3 imams leading tarawih. The hadith of the Prophet ﷺ speaks about the grace and extra reward for those who follow an imam in tarawih till the end. Can 2 or 3 imams be considered as one in this regard? This is a very important question. Yeah, the opinion of Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen rahmatullahi alayhi is that 2 or 3 imams are considered as one imam. So if a mosque has got more than one imam, for you to have that reward, you have to stay with both imams. And actually this is stronger in terms of what it connotes, because what is showing is that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man qama ma'a al-imam hatta yansarif," whoever stands up in prayer with the imam till he leaves. So it shows that it's talking about the prayer session itself. The prayer session. No matter the number of the imams doing it. When the prayer session is over, then that is when you'll have the extra reward. So this is the stronger in terms of the apparent meaning of the hadith. That if a mosque has got more than one imam, for you to get that reward, you have to stay with the with all the imams till the whole prayer session is over. Mm-hmm. Yes. Then we'll come to your report now, Alan Mura Arama. This one, he said, "Assalamu alaikum, respected Sheikh. You said in your tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha, you made mention that it can also be referred to as a healer. Could you please provide guidance on how to utilize Surah Al-Fatiha as a means of healing for someone who is ill?" Yes, it was not me who said it. I said it can also be referred to as a healer. This is a name, this is a description of the Fatiha given by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the hadith of Abu Sa'id. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ أَنَّهَا رُقْيَا. What informed you that it is a healer? And in another hadith he said, هِيَ رُقْيَا. That it is a healer. How it can be a healer is by reciting it and rubbing your hands. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to, during his final illness, he used to recite the mu'awwidhat and rub it over his body. And then when he became weak, then Aisha radiallahu anha will recite for him and blow on his hands and rub his body with the hands, seeking the blessings of the hands of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that is one way of seeking healing with Fatiha, or by having someone recite it over you, or blowing over you, or reciting it in water and drinking it, or even writing it on a slate and washing and drinking it. It's all part of healing with Fatiha. In the tafsir of Surah An-Nahl, in our weekly tafsir here in Al-Furqan, I extensively spoke about writing the Quran or portions of the Quran and cleaning it and drinking it. and I cited evidences from the practice of the Sahaba like Ali ibn Abi Talib, and also from the fatwa of eminent scholars like Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal and Ishaq ibn Rahuya from the Masail, that this is permissible. It's like, so long as what is written is from the Quran or from authority or from du'as that have got authoritative meanings, you can do it as a means of healing. Yes, that is blowing or spitting. It's all part of it. In the bowl, but this is what I said, you blow over it in water, or you put water and you spit, but not complete spit now. Spit is strong. Secondly, he said that my question is zakat obligatory on cryptocurrency investments like Bitcoin, Ethereum? Additionally, what are the implications or consequences for individuals who fail to pay zakat on their cryptocurrency holdings? Yeah, cryptocurrency are a form of liquid asset. So they are, just as you pay zakat on currency, on paper money, you also pay zakat on cryptocurrency and digital currency. You all pay zakat on them. So by the time you are paying zakat, when you are taking stock of your assets that are due for zakat, you will also calculate your holdings of cryptocurrency. You will make conversion. If you choose Naira as the base currency, because most of your money is in Naira, so you calculate how much you have of Naira, of cash at hand, of cash in the bank, your current accounts, your savings accounts, your investment accounts, then your holdings in foreign currency, your dollars, you convert them to Naira. That is one way of doing it. You convert the dollar to Naira based on the exchange rate on that day in the parallel market, not in the CBN rate. At WAPA, here in Kano. I didn't want to use black market. I said parallel market. That's what they call it in the. That is what they call it, in the news. And also, your holdings of cryptocurrency. You convert them into dollars. Then from dollars, you convert them into Naira, or you convert them directly into Naira if you can. Then the total amount, you give 2.5% of it as a. I give it out as Naira. Alternatively, you can look at your holdings of the cryptocurrency, and then you take 2.5% of that. So the 2.5% of that, you can choose to give it in cryptocurrency, if there is a unit of that. So you give someone in cryptocurrency and give him the task of going to either hold it or to exchange it. Or when you calculate the amount, then you make the conversion into Naira and you give it. The same with dollars. You can do, if you have a holding of $1,000, so you give 2.5% of that, which is $2.5. Go. That's $2.5 go to 0.25, 2.5%, 2.5. Now, that is 2.5, now 40. That's 2.5, 2.5, $2.5. So $2.5, how much is that in Naira at the parallel market? You either give someone $2.5 or you convert to Naira and give it out as what is due on you or as the cash.
50,000.
Yeah. 40,000. Yes. Because now. 1,000 dollars. $1,000 is $25. Exactly. Yes, it's $25. Sorry, I made a mistake. It's $25. I didn't change. I think I'm going to take a look. Okay, the second to the last question. Assalamu alaikum, ya Sheikh, please. What are the primary differences between the hadith narration methods of Bukhari and Muslim? And how did their distinct approaches impact the authenticity and reliability of the hadith they collected? This is a very important question, but unfortunately to answer it, we'll need a session. We'll need a session. But it's a very, very important question, especially now that there is a serious assault and onslaught on the hadith, and especially on Bukhari and Muslim. Yes, and maybe inshallah we'll find time.
Can we ask a Sheikh to give this explanation after those rest, so that it can go on air later?
We'll choose another time because I have an important commitment immediately after Dhuhr. So another time, inshallah, but it's very important. Maybe when we are during our next session, we'll not answer any question. We'll just do that. Then the last question, please. My quotation is Naam. No, we just this last question. My question is about what time a person is supposed to start his nafila prayer in Dhuhr. The Mukhtar is by 12:42. Thank you. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan rasulullah. Yes, the Mukhtar, it starts by 12:42. So immediately after 12:40, because 12:42, it shows that it is time of Zawal. It's not the time of it's the time of Dhuhr prayer. That is what it shows. That is, the sun has tilted, has left the middle position, has left its zenith. So that is so at 12:42 you can do the nafila. You can do the sunnah prayer at 12:42. So like 2, 4, 3, 5 minutes before 12:42 you can't pray, because at that time the sun is at its zenith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited prayer hina yaqumu qa'imun adh-dhahira. That is when the shadow is still. That is, the sun is at its zenith. Then the moment it tilts, no matter how little, to the west, that is the one. You know, Ibn Qudama mentioned a way of finding out the zawal. He said you stick a stick perpendicular. Make sure it is upright. It's not mild. It's not leaning. It's upright at 90 degrees. A stick. And then you see this is the shadow. You mark it. So actually you draw circles because the shadow it tilts. Then the moment it's coming towards the zenith, the shadow shortens and shortens and shortens till it reaches a position where it has reached its final shortening. Then you observe that it will start increasing. At the point where it reached its least length, that is Zawal. That is just before Zawal. That is the time of the middle, when it's at the middle position. Then the moment it starts increasing, that is Zawal. So if you don't have a watch, or you don't have
how were they taught to determine time of the
and after?
When
watches were not common. And now with watches, you know, people make mistakes. Somebody yesterday was asking me that Suhoor, isn't it at 5:30? I said, no, it's not at 5:30. It changes. Yeah, by the beginning of the month it was at around 5:30. But now it is around 5:24. Well, according to the watches it's 22. But this sorry, according to the watch it's 5:16 actually, but according to the apps it's 5:22. So you people should be referred to their apps, and honestly, anyway, smartphones are not common now, okay? Because some people are using some people who can't afford, even Megadi, I thought even these small Nokia phones now, they are the ones that are common. Those ones too, do they have prayer time?
No.
The small Nokia phones.
No. They are determined by different authorities.
Yes.
The Egyptian.
Yeah.
So, and there are different.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. And that is why it is always best to use the Ummul Qura. Calibrate your own base on Ummul Qura, because Ummul Qura is along the Hanbali Madhab, which is also equivalent to the Maliki Madhab in terms of timing. The Muslim World League too is somehow near to Ummul Qura. They are almost the same. Maybe sometimes it is in the sighting of the moon sometimes that they do differ, but in terms of prayer time, I think they have the same thing. The one of Azhar is the one that is different, because it follows the Hanafi Madhab. So normally when somebody says what is the time of prayer, tell him use your app or use the calendar, instead of saying that use your watch and say that it is at 5:30. Okay, bismillah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أو كصيب من السماء فيه ظلمات ورعد وبرق يجعلون أصابعهم في آذانهم من الصواعق حذر الموت والله محيط بالكافرين. يكاد البرق يخطف أبصارهم كلما أضاء لهم مشوا فيه وإذا أظلم عليهم قاموا ولو شاء الله لذهب بسمعهم وأبصارهم إن الله على كل شيء قدير.
نعم. All their likeness is like the a people that are it's like a people who were under a cloud that is heavy with rain. فيه ظلمات ورعد وبرق. In the cloud there is that is من السماء, from the sky. فيه ظلمات ورعد وبرق. In it in the cloud it has darkness, thunder and lightning. They are putting their fingers onto their ears. يجعلون أصابعهم في آذانهم. They are putting their fingers onto their ears, حضر من الصواعق, to keep out the sound of thunder claps. حضر الموت, for fear of death. والله محيط بالكافرين. And God surrounds the disbelievers. The lightning almost snatches away their sight. يكاد البرق يخطف أبصارهم. The lightning almost snatches away their sight. Whenever it flashes on them, they walk on. And when darkness falls around them, they stand still. If God so willed, He could take away their hearing and sight, and God has power over everything. This is the second likeness, the second similitude, the second likeness of the hypocrites. The first likeness, he said, مَثَلُهُمْ كَمَثَلِ الَّذِي اسْتَوْقَدَ نَارًا. The example, they are like the person who kindles a fire. Then this one, كَصَيِّبْ أَطْفٌ عَلَى الَّذِي اسْتَوْقَدَ. This is, it is a conjunction with the one who kindles fire. وَالتَّقْدِيرُ أَوْكَ صَاحِبِ صَيِّ. Or they are like the person who is in who is under a cloud that is heavy with rainfall. أَوْ لِتَنْوِيعِ. Or it is for choice. It is, they are either this or that. لِأَنَّ هَذَا مَثَلٌ آخر ضَرَبَهُ اللَّهُ لِلْمُنَافِقِينَ. Because this is another example that Allah sets for the hypocrites. والصيب المطر. The original meaning of صيب is المطر. So this is like, their example is like the example of someone who is under a rainfall. وأصله صيو ووزنه فعيل ووزنه فعيل وهو مشتق من قولك صاب يصوب. It is from dropping. So because the rain, it drops. وفي قوله من السماء إن إنسان أو كصيب من السماء from the sky إشارة إلى قوته وشدة صبابه. This is indicating the strength of the rainfall and the strength of its dropping. قال ابن مسعود عبد الله بن مسعود the prophet's companion رضي الله عنه said إن رجلين من المنافقين هربا إلى المشركين. Two men from among the hypocrites, they run away to the disbelief, to the polytheists. فأصابهما هذا المطر. And then this rainfall, it fell upon them. وأيقنا بالهلاك. And they were certain that they were going to die. فعزما على الإيمان. So they resolved to believe, to have iman. وَرَجَعَا إِلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And they went back to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَحَسُنَ إِسْلَامُهُمَا. And their Islam was upright. فَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَا أَنْزَلَ فِيهِمَا مَثَلًا لِلْمُنَافِقِينَ. So Allah, He set this example regarding what happened to them as a likeness, as a parable for the hypocrites. وقيل المعنى تشبيه المنافقين في حيرتهم في الدين. It was also said that the meaning is that this is presenting a likeness of the hypocrites in their bewilderment regarding the religion. وفي خوفهم على أنفسهم بمن أصابه مطر فيه ظلمات ورعد وبرق. And in their fear, the fear they have over themselves, this is a likeness for the one who was beset by rainfall, and in the rainfall, in the cloud, there is darkness, there is thunder, and there is lightning. فَضَلَّ عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ. And he became misguided away from the right path. وَخَافَ الْحَلَاكَ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ. And he was afraid of death. He was afraid of death and destruction over himself. وَهَذَا التَّشْبِيهُ عَلَى الْجُمْلَةِ. And this is like a general likeness. وقيل إن التشبيه على التفصيل. It was said that no, this is a similitude that has got in which all the components have been explained clearly. فالمطر مثل للقرآن. So when it says they are like the one who is under a rainfall, the rainfall is the Quran. This is the example of the Quran. أو الإسلام or Islam. والظلمات and the darkness مثل لما فيه من الإشكال على المنافقين. The darkness is a similitude of the not clear aspects of the Quran, the things that are not clear to the people of hypocrisy. والرعد and the thunder مثل لما فيه من الوعيد والزجر لهم. And the thunder is what is in the Quran of warning and threats to them. والبرق the lightning مثل لما فيه من البراهين الواضحة. It's a similitude, it's a parable of what is in the Quran of clear proofs. فإن قيل لما قال رعد وبرق بالإفراد. But if you notice, the thunder and the lightning are mentioned in a singular form. ولم يجمعه كما جمع الظلمات. And it was not plural, just like the darknesses was plural. Here, even though in the translation we said in it there is darkness, actually in the Arabic in it there are darknesses. It is mentioned in the plural form. So the difference is that Ar-Ra'd wal-Barq Masdaran, the thunder and lightning, these are the verb form. And the verb form is not normally mentioned in the plural form. وَيُحْتَمَلْ أَنْ يَكُونَ اسْمَيْنِ وَجَمَعَهُمَا لِأَنَّهُمَا فِي الْأَصْلِ مَصْدَرًا. Or they could be proper nouns, but then originally they are verb forms. يَجْعَلُونَ أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي آذَانِهِمْ مِنَ الصَّوَائِقِ. مِنَ الصَّوَائِقِ أي مِنْ أَجَلِ الصَّوَائِقِ, for fear of the thunder, the thunder clouds, the sound of thunder. قال ابن مسعود, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, كانوا يجعلون أصابعهم في آذانهم لألا يسمعوا القرآن في مجلس النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. They used to put their fingers over their ears in the presence of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم so that they don't hear the Quran. فهو على هذا حقيقة في المنافقين. So this is literally, this is in the literal meaning regarding the hypocrites, that in reality this was what they used to do. وَالصَّوَائِقُ عَلَى هَذَا مَا يَكْرَهُونَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ, مَا يَكْرَهُونَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. And the thunder, the sound of thunder then is what they used to hate of the Qur'an. وَالْمَوْتِ, and حَذَرَ الْمَوْتِ, for fear of death. هُوَ مَا يَتَخَوَّفُونَهُ فِيهِمَا, هُوَ مَا يَتَخَوَّفُونَهُ, is what they are afraid of. فهما مجازان. So these are metaphorical. وقيل لأنه راجع لأصحاب المطر المشبه بهم فهو حقيقة فيهم. It was said that since it is, if we say that this is actually depicting a specific situation of the munafiqun, like in what was mentioned by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, so it becomes literal with regards to them. والصوائق على هذا حقيقة, and the sound of thunder on this, it is literal. وهي التي تكون من المطر من شدة الرعد. That is what comes together with rain, with thunder, the thunderbolt, the terrible sound that you hear. ونزول قطعة نار, and then the drop of fire. والموت أيضا حقيقة, and the death here is also in reality, that they are, is literal, that is they are afraid of actually dying. وقيل إنه راجع للمنافقين على وجه التشبيه لهم في خوفهم بمن جعل أصابعهم في آذانه من شدة الخوف من المطر والرعد. This is one opinion, it says that it is literal. Another opinion that says that it is metaphorical is describing the likeness of the hypocrites with regards to their fear. They are like the one who puts his fingers to cover his ears, so that because of severe fear from rainfall and lightning and thunder. فَإِنْ قِيلَ لِمَ قَالَ أَصَابِعَهُمْ وَلَمْ يَقُلْ أَنَامِلَهُمْ. When he said that they put their fingers, he didn't say the limbs of their fingers. وَالْأَنَامِلْ هِيَ الَّتِي تُجْعَلُ فِي الْأَذَانِ, and it is the tip of the fingers that are put inside the ears. But Allah says they put their fingers. فَالْجَوَابُ أَنَّ ذِكْرُ الْأَصَابِعِ أَبْلَغُ لِأَنَّهَا أَعْظَمُ مِنَ الْأَنَامِلْ. Mentioning fingers is stronger in meaning, because the fingers are bigger than the tip of the fingers. ولذلك جمعهما ما أن الذي يجعل في الأذان السبابة خاصة. So that's why it was mentioned in the plural, even though what is put to cover the ears is just the forefinger. Oh, you just put your four fingers like this, the tip of the four fingers. But Allah said they are putting their fingers. Oh, with regards to them as a plural, they are putting their fingers. So it's not all the thing, each one is putting his four fingers. وَاللَّهُ مُحِيطٌ بِالْكَافِرِينَ أَيْ لَا يَفُوتُونَهُ. Allah surrounds the disbelievers, that is, they will not escape from him. بَلْ هُمْ تَحْتَ قَهْرِهِ وَهُوَ قَادِرٌ عَلَىٰ إِقَادِهِمْ. They are under his power, and he has power to inflict punishment on them. يَخْطَفُ أَبْصَارَهُمْ snatching away their eyesight. إِنَّهُ إِنْ رَجَعَ إِلَىٰ أَصْحَابِ الْمَطَرِ وَهُمُ الَّذِينَ شَبَّهَ بِهِمُ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فَهُوَ بَيِّنٌ فِي الْمَعْنَى. When it says that the lightning the lightning is about to snatch, is all but snatching away their eyesight. The lightning almost snatches away their eyesight. If it is talking about the people that are under the rainfall, who actually entered into such a situation, وهم الذين شبه بهم المنافقين شبه بهم المنافقين, and they are the ones for whom the likeness of the hypocrites was presented, فهو بين في المعنى, so it is clear in meaning. وإن رجع إلى المنافقين, but if it is describing the hypocrites, فهو تشبيههم بمن أصابه البرق على وجهين, then the similitude is based on two perspectives. أحدهما تكاد براهين القرآن تلوح لهم كما يضيء البرق. That is, the proofs of the Quran, they are almost becoming clear to them, just like the lightning, it shines, it brings about clarity. وهذا مناسب لتمثيل البراهين بالبرق حسب ما تقدم. So this conforms to making the lightning a similitude of the light, making the proof of the Quran, they are just like the lightning. The second perspective is that the warnings of the Quran and the threats that are there in the Quran, they take hold of them like the lightning takes hold, snatches away their sight, the sight of the people who are under the rainfall, that is the people that are likened, to the munafiqun, to the hypocrites. كلما أضاء لهم مشوا فيه إن رجع إلى أصحاب المطر فالمعنى أنهم يمشون بضوء البرق إذا لاح لهم. So if we take it to be the literal, that is whenever the lightning comes, they move. So that is when it becomes clear to them, they move. وإن رجع إلى المنافقين, but if it is a parable for the hypocrites, فالمعنى إنهم إذا when the truth becomes clear to them by mentioning what will bring they will move closer to إيمان. وإذا أظلم عليهم قاموا إن رجع إلى أصحاب المطر فالمعنى أنهم إذا زال عنهم الضوء وقفوا متحيرين لا يعرفون الطريق. If it is describing the people of that are under the rainfall, then it is saying that whenever the lightning stops, when the lightning is held, then they will be standing confused. They don't know what is the path. وإن رجع إلى المنافقين, if it is going back, if it is describing the hypocrites, فالمعنى أنه إذا ذهب عنهم ما لاح لهم من الإيمان ثبتوا على كفرهم. When what brought made Iman clear to them, when it ceases or when it is no longer clear to them, then they will be firm in their disbelief. وقيل إن المعنى كلما صلحت أحوالهم في الدنيا قالوا هذا دين مبارك. It was also said that the meaning of this is that whenever their condition in this world becomes good, they say this is a religion that is blessed. فَهَذَا مَثَلُ الضَّوْءِ. So this is the example of the light. وَإِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ شِدَّةٌ, and when harshness, when difficulty befalls them, أو مصيبة, or when a calamity comes to them, أَبُوا الدِّينِ, then they blame the religion, وَسَخِطُوا, and they become angry. فَهَذَا مَثَلُ الظُّلُمَةِ. So this is an example of the darkness. فَإِنْ قِيلَ لِمَ قَالَ مَعَ الْإِبَاءَ كُلَّمَا وَمَعَ الظَّلَامِ إِذَا. Why was it said that whenever, regarding the lightning, whenever the lightning shines for them, and regarding the darkness, wa idha adlama alayhim, and when darkness befalls them. فالجواب أنهم لما كانوا حراسا على المشي ذكر معه كلما لأنها تكتب التكرار والكثرة. Because they want to walk, to move. That's why it is mentioned that whenever the lightning appears to them, then they move. But because the darkness is not what they are after, so it was referred to وَإِذَا, when the darkness comes. But kullama shows continuity, because this is what they want to do. They want to continuously be in motion. وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَذَهَبَ بِسَمْعِهِمْ وَأَبْصَارِهِمْ إِنْ رَجَى إِلَىٰ أَصْحَابِ الْمَطَرِ فَالْمَعْنَى لَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَأَذْهَبَ سَمْعَهُمْ بِالرَّعْدِ وَأَبْصَارَهُمْ بِالْبَرْقِ. He is always bringing two things, that either this verse is actually describing the situation of a people who went out under a rainfall, and the rain was full of clouds. The clouds, they were full of darkness, thunder and lightning. Or this is not describing a people who went out like that, but is given a parable, a similitude, a likeness. So it is metaphorical. So it's not actually there are people who went out in a rainfall. No, but the situation of the hypocrites is like people who are being addressed by the Quran. So the rainfall is the Quran. And then in the rainfall, the cloud that brings the rain, there is thunder and lightning. The thunder are the warnings of the Quran and the threats of the Quran. The lightning is the proofs, the ayat of the Quran, the barahin, the clear proofs and evidences in the Quran. And dhulumat is what is in their heart of disbelief and doubt and so on and so forth. So in reality, it's not describing a rainfall, but it's given a parable. So that's why he's always, the Mufassir Ibn Juzay, is bringing these two perspectives. So regarding the saying of Allah, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ, if Allah had willed, this, if we say that, if it goes back to the people who are in reality under the rainfall, then فَالْمَعْنَى لَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ, if Allah had willed, he would have taken away their hearing and he would have taken away their hearing with the thunder and their eyesight with the lightning. Because this shows that, you know, because the thunder, the sound of the thunder, because the intensity of the sound can make someone lose his hearing. The same thing with the lightning also. The intensity of the light, it can take away the eyesight. That is, if Allah had so willed, Allah would have done that to them. وَإِذَا جَاءَ إِلَى الْمُنَافِقِينَ, but if it goes back to a parable, a likeness of the hypocrites, فَالْمَعْنَى لَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَأَوْقَعَ بِهِمُ الْعَذَابُ وَالْفَضِيحَ, if Allah had willed, he would have brought down to them, upon them, punishment and exposure. They will be exposed and everybody will know them. وجاءت العبارة عن ذلك بإذهاب سمعهم وأبصارهم والبال التعديا كما هي في قوله ذهب الله بنورهم. So the sentence came with taking away their hearing and their eyesight. Now, the next verse.
يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون الذي جعل لكم الأرض فراشا والسماء بناء وأنزل من السماء ماء فأخرج به من الثمرات رزقا لكم فلا تجعلوا لله أندادا وأنتم تعلمون.
نعم. يا أيها الناس, all you people, اعبدوا ربكم, worship your Lord who created, الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم, who created you and those before you, لعلكم تتقون, so that you may be so that you will have at-taqwa, you will be fearing, you will be fearful of God, mindful of your duty to him. الذي جعل لكم الارض فراشا, who spread out the earth for you, who made the earth for you as a couch, al-firash, that is a bedspread. He spread the couch. He made the earth for you as a couch. وَالسَّمَاءَ بِنَاءَ, and build the sky for you as a covering, as a covering. وَأَنْزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءَ, and sent down water from the sky. فَأَخْرَجَ بِهِ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ رِزْقًا لَكُمْ, and with that water he produced things for your sustenance. He produced fruits, farm produce, this is الثَّمَرَات, رِزْقًا for your sustenance. فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا, do not, knowing this, set up rivals to Allah. If you set up rivals to Allah, وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ, and you well know that there are no rivals to Allah. وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ, do not set up rivals with Allah while you know this. He says, لَمَّا قَدَّمَ اخْتِلَافِ النَّاسِ فِي الدِّينِ وَذَكَرَ ثَلَاثَ طَوَائِفِ, after he has mentioned the differences of people in the matter, in the affair of the religion, and he mentioned three groups of people, al-mu'minun, the believers, wal-kafirin, the disbelievers, wal-munafiqin, the hypocrites, atba' dhalika bida'wati al-khalqi ila ibadatillah, so Allah followed with calling the whole of creation to the worship of Allah. وَجَاءَ بِالدَّعْوَى عَامَّ لِلْجَمِيعِ, and the address is general, addressing everybody, addressing all. لِأَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بُعِثَ إِلَى جَمِيعِ النَّاسِ, because the Prophet صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ was sent to all of mankind. اعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ, worship your Lord, يَدْخُلُ فِيهِ الْإِيمَانِ بِهِ, the meaning of worshiping your Lord, this includes al-iman bihi subhanahu wa tawhiduhu, believing in Allah, that is believing in his existence. May he be glorified. Wa tawhiduhu, and then his unity, that is alone. Wa ta'atuhu, and obeying him. Fal amru bil iman bihi liman kana jahida, the command to believe in him is for the one who denies the existence of God, like the atheists, the agnostics, those who say there is no God. So when you say i'budullah, you see, when you are called upon to worship Allah, it includes believing in his existence. So this is a da'wah to those who deny the existence of God. Wal amru bit tawhid liman kana mushrikan, and the command to declare the unity of Allah, to make him only one, is for the polytheists, those who say there are many beings that are equal to Allah, rivals to Allah. Wal amru bi ta'a liman kana mu'mina, and the command for obedience is for the ones who are already believers. So this verse, it applies to those who deny the existence of Allah, and those who worship others besides Allah, and also those who worship Allah alone. They are called to continue on the path of worshiping Allah, which is on the path of obedience to Allah. This is part of the extensive meaning of the Quran. لَعَلَّكُمْ, so that يَتَعَلَّقُوا بِخَلْقِكُمْ أَيْ خَلَقَكُمْ لِتَتَّقُوهُ, he said that that is, you worship him, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, that is, الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, he created you so that you will worship him. كَقَوْلِهِ وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, I did not create men and jinn except that they worship me. أو بفعل مقدر من معنى الكلام أي دعوتكم إلى عبادة الله لعلكم تتقون. That is, I call on you to worship Allah so that you will have taqwa. وَهَذَا أَحْسَن and this is better, this is best. That is, the worship of Allah leads to taqwa. Calling you to worship Allah leads to taqwa, not the worship of Allah itself. Worship Allah so that you will have taqwa. He said, وَهَذَا ضَعِيف. But that is also a meaning, because when you worship Allah, you will have taqwa. So you see, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, you could relate it to either of the three verbs that I mentioned in the verse. Either that you were created so that you will have taqwa, or you are called upon to worship Allah so that you will have taqwa, or you worship Allah so that you will have taqwa. And the choice of Ibn Juzay is the second. That is, you are called upon to worship Allah so that you will have taqwa. So it's as though you are being called upon towards taqwa, which shows that that is the best that you can get, because Allah himself is calling you to have taqwa. And Allah is not calling you to gather wealth or to have so many children or to get positions, but to have taqwa. Because when you have taqwa, you have the best provision for your journey to the hereafter. وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. So the call is for you to have a taqwa.
Now, what is the difference between the second and the third?
The difference is that in the second, the call is what is done in order for you to have taqwa. The da'wah, saying, Ya ayyuhan nas. That is what is, you are being called upon to worship Allah so that you will have taqwa. But the third, you are being instructed. That is, you worship Allah so that you will have taqwa. There is difference between the two.
The third
is, your worship of Allah will give you taqwa. Because if you are worshiping Allah, you will not worship other than Allah. So you will have taqwa from shirk. If you are worshiping Allah, you will be obeying Him. So you will not be disobedient. You will have taqwa against disobedience. So worship of Allah leads to taqwa.
By worshiping
Allah that you get taqwa. Mm-hmm. But the second is, by calling to Allah, that is how you get taqwa. Mm-hmm. When you are called upon to Allah, when you are called upon to worship Allah, you are being called upon to have taqwa. Mm-hmm. Now?
When you answer the call.
No, the call itself is making you, is what will give you taqwa, is what will bring taqwa. So if there is no call to Allah, there will be no taqwa. If there is no call to Allah, there will be no taqwa. That's why there has to be calling to Allah. Because without calling to Allah, there will be no taqwa.
Yes, I understand
it.
You are called to worship Allah so that you can have taqwa.
Because
that you have taqwa, then you worship.
No. You are the call to taqwa, the call to worship Allah is what will bring taqwa. The call to worship Allah is what will bring taqwa. So if there is no call to worship Allah, there will be no taqwa. Which is why messengers were sent, so that they will do the call. وَإِنْ كَانَتْ لَعَلَّ لِنَعَمْ.
I had some lecture. The explanation of Ibadullah.
Naam.
And the speaker said, since Allah Ta'ala addresses mankind and jinn as Ibadullah, we all worship. It is up to us to worship Allah. Or something else. Even atheist, they worship something. Nobody is without worship. And he explained that an atheist can be devoted to his work or to something worldly, and he gives full devotion to that particular thing he does, which to him is worship.
Yes, it is true, the human being by nature is called upon. With that is the call is on them, hoping that they will get taqwa, but not on the side of Allah, because there is no hope on the side of Allah. Whatever Allah makes as the reason behind his command, it must come to pass, because Allah does not hope. Allah, he makes things happen by his will. وإن كانت للمقاربة أو للتعليل فلا إشكال. But if it is for تعليل, that is, this is the reason behind the command, then there is no problem with that. والأظهر فيها أنها لمقاربة الأمر نحو عسى. But the best interpretation of لعل is that it is للمقاربة, that is bringing near, which is the same as having hope. فإذا قالها الله فمعناه أتباع العباد. What is the your نسخة? What did it say? فمعناها أتباع العباد. That is the behavior or the طبيعة of the servants of Allah. That is, this is the way Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala created them, with the hope that they will worship Allah. وهذا القول فيها حيث ما وردت في كلام الله تعالى. Wherever you see Allah, this is the meaning. But it's normally, most mufassirun, they go with at-ta'li. That is, the reason behind the command is what is mentioned. So inshallah, we'll stop here. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.